Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
And again, you previously heard the judge give an instruction regarding conspiracy and talking about it being an agreement by two or more persons to commit a crime. So I'll tell you, I have some older brothers, and two of them were pretty close in age. And so my mom will tell stories about the two of them because they would get into shenanigans together. And the two of them, one of the things that they would do is the older brother and the younger brother would get together and they'd come up with a plan. And oftentimes the older brother wanted the younger one to carry it out first. So they came up with a plan to jump out of the barn door. So as part of this, they come up with the plan, they go into the barn together, they climb the stairs, and the younger brother jumps out. Well, he gets hurt. So the older brother doesn't follow. But they both had talked about going to do it. They both had the intention. So ultimately, they both were involved in that. So when we talk about a conspiracy and an agreement by two persons to commit a crime, you'll get instructions regarding the agreement and what qualifies as an agreement and what an agreement actually is. And again, that will come from the court. But you'll also, it will talk about the only one person in that agreement has to do something that is referred to as an overt act. So only one person has to do some act to further that. Does anyone have a problem? Because you were, let me back up a little bit. You were also instructed by the court that there are co-conspirators that you may hear about, and you're not to worry about what's going on with them. But what you will hear evidence is of some of the actions or the allegations that the state has, and you'll hear evidence regarding those actions of the other co-conspirators. Does anyone have a problem knowing there's an agreement and only one person has to do an act in furtherance, Does anyone have concerns that person A may not have done the act in furtherance of the conspiracy and person B did? Does anyone have a problem then essentially holding person A still accountable? So like the brothers planned, both of them climb up the stairs, but only one jumps out the window. But they both planned it. They both were going to do it. Anyone have concerns about that at all? Thank you so much for your time this morning. I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Whitten. Mr. Pryor, you can conduct voir dire for the defense.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm always distracted. I don't know if that's something I need to do this or anything. I'm here today to ask you a number of questions. And I don't want you to infer from any of those questions that there's a right or wrong answer. What we're here today is just talk and get to know each other and sort of get feelings about how we feel about a variety of topics. And again, there isn't any right or wrong answer. But before we start that, I do want to ask you a question. And I brought this up with a couple of the other jury pool folks. Many years ago, when I was a much younger man and much skinnier, I was in college and I was having to do jury service, much like what you folks are doing. And the attorney at the time, and I remember this, and I bet maybe it was the reason I became a lawyer, I don't know, had an impact. Because the attorney stood there and said, is there anybody who just doesn't want to be here today? And I thought that was a very interesting question. And I didn't think long. And I raised my hand. Now, I'm not trying to dodge my responsibility and my civic responsibility to be a juror. That's not really what I was doing, because I appreciate that. And we have a law enforcement officer who's sworn to uphold the law and to do his best to follow the rules. And yet, I can tell by the distress of having to be here, and I can see it on his face, that there's concern. And so I really want all of you, and the state talks about brutally honest, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, but I need all of you to be honest with me. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. I can't speak for the folks over here, but I know that no one's going to take offense to that, because this is a serious case, and it's a complicated case. And we need all of your attention. We need it to be focused on this. And it's not going to be imputed to you that you're not doing your civic duty. And it's not going to be suggested that you aren't, you know, faithful to our country or all of those things that are at least important to me, but important to all of us. That's not the case here. But in all seriousness, I guess we have to really be honest about that. I'm not going to use the words brutally. I've got a strange adjective to attach to a statement of honesty, but that's their issue, I guess. But again, I'm going to ask this. Is there anybody who just feels that what's going on in their personal life is so profound, and so complicated, they just don't think they could, in all reality, do this very complicated job? Hold up your cards, please, if you feel that way. Nobody. We're here today, and you've heard the allegations from the judge. You've heard him, what he's had to say about the charges that are against Mr. Daybell. Is there anybody here who, at the present time, based on what the charges are alleged, believes that Mr. Daybell is guilty right now? At the present time that he's guilty right now? 1057? Okay, and 10044. And I guess I'll inquire. 1057, is there any chance that you're going to be able to change your mind in that regard, or are you pretty firm in your belief at this point?
I will definitely weigh the evidence.
Okay.
You asked if I felt that, and I answered correctly.
Okay.
I answered honestly.
Okay. And 10004, law enforcement officer, I can understand that.
I definitely would want to weigh the evidence. I
would weigh the evidence. Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there anybody here who can't sit for long periods of time, other than me? Is there anybody who is unable to sit, or because of any kind of health concerns, you're not able to? Okay, 922. You have some concerns about sitting for long periods of time?
I know I'm young, but I have had a kidney stone in the past. I'm already sitting here wishing for a bathroom break, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it's just health concerns, it's difficult.
Do we need to take, and I don't want to announce this, but do we need to take a break right now?
Not on my account only, but if there's other people who need
to. Do you think you want to take a short break?
I do, actually. Looking at the time, sometimes we lose track of how long these jurors have been captive before we get breaks and other court staffs. So it is late in the morning. Let's go ahead and take our mid-morning recess.
Judge, I'm joining them.
Okay, and we'll conclude then with additional defense for Dyer, but we'll go ahead and take a mid-morning recess at this time and try to come back in about 20 minutes.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. Have the jurors brought in, please.
Yes, sir. All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record. We are in for Dyer. Mr. Pryor was doing so for the defense. You can continue, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll move on a little bit. Is there anybody in the jury pool today who knows any of the parties that are here today? Any of the attorneys? Number 10004.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with Ingrid Beatty. I've worked cases with her again.
And would you just, without too much specific, identify which one you say is Ingrid Beatty?
He's the blonde video editor.
And there's no doubt that the two of you know each other.
No, sir.
And the fact is you've worked on cases with her.
That's correct.
And you're familiar with her.
Yes, sir.
And you've discussed it. And the fact that you've worked on cases with her, is there even the slightest possibility that you put more weight to anything she said as opposed to, let's say, me?
And honestly, yes. She's a very good investigator and prosecutor, yes.
Okay, so if you were to have me testify, and if I were to offer some evidence, Ms. Beatty was offering evidence here, and it's human nature. You'd agree with that, right?
In truthfulness, yes, sir.
Yeah, that would. And in fact, you would give Ms. Beatty more weight and pursue that situation. Is that fair?
I think that would be fair, sir.
Okay. And thank you for your brutal honesty, I guess. I'd use a different word. I guess I'd say transparent. Brutal always sounds so difficult to me. But anyway, I'm going to move on a little bit. And thank you for that disclosure. I appreciate that. Part of this case, we are going to see some of those pictures. Very, very graphic pictures. I want to tell you that I'm involved in this case. When I look at these pictures actually hurt my heart. Difficulty is this, is that although they hurt my heart, is it fair that when I look at these pictures, I assign those pictures to Mr. Gabo? Is there anybody, because they look at these pictures and then you have the same reaction that I have, that these pictures truly hurt my heart and it's painful? Is there anybody who's going to say these pictures hurt me so bad that I have to blame him regardless of what the evidence may show or otherwise? Is there anyone? So, juror number 791, is that your number?
Yes.
Okay. I thank you. I see your reaction, and I can see your facial. Are you trying to be strong, or is that something that you think is going to have an impact on you?
It's hard for me to say ahead of time. I would like to think that I will take all of the evidence and weigh them appropriately. I hold myself to a very high standard, and by nature of the case, I would want to be very fair and impartial, not taking anything lightly due to the nature of the images that might be shown. Will probably be difficult. I I can't say how I'll necessarily react to them, but I don't think I will let it impact my ability to judge.
And I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. As you can understand and agree, probably looking at very graphic pictures can have an impact on you. But we need to be honest about that. I talked about that before. There's no right or wrong answer. This isn't a test that you get scored on. What we want you to do is to be able to look at the evidence as fairly and as impartially as possible. When either of us, whether it's these folks over here to my right or on my side, provide you with some information or to show you some images, they're going to be painful and they're going to be graphic. But what has to happen is that you have to look beyond all of that and say, I'm going to take the value of those pictures and look at those to prove some point. But is there anybody who thinks it's fair that by automatically looking at the pictures that you should presume that Mr. Daybell is guilty because you looked at very unsettling and disturbing pictures? Is there anybody? Juror number 1048, what are your thoughts on this as far as the ability to view graphic pictures and look at those things?
I don't feel like I have any concerns. I feel like I'll be able to do what I'm asked to do.
Okay.
I've been in a line of work where I've had to learn to compartmentalize things, and so I'm capable of doing that.
Okay. And I went to you because I'm going off of my memory. Hopefully it's still relatively intact as I get older. But my recollection, if I recall, is that you're the juvenile corrections person. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I would imagine you do have to deal with those things. You have to be able to compartmentalize and separate your feelings about certain things and look at things in the big picture. Is that fair?
That's fair, yes.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, just a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about bias, how we judge and view bias. And I think what I'm going to do, and please forgive me, officer, I don't mean to keep picking on you. And I appreciate your being very honest about that. But when my recollection of yours, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you were a traffic officer, is that right?
I'm a patrol officer.
Patrol officer. I used the wrong term, I'm sorry. Now, as a patrol officer, while you're driving down the road and you find someone who's breaking the law, like speeding, and you pull them over, okay? Now, I have a difficulty is that in my prior life as a lawyer, when I got pulled over by a police officer, I had a habit of just saying, yes, I was speeding, and then they would ridicule me with the particular law enforcement agency that I dealt with. They said, you know, you're a lawyer, why are you admitting the truth? And then I said, well, it's because I was speeding, and I was being very honest about things like that. Is that your usual experience that when you pull people over for speeding, they immediately acknowledge that they were breaking the law?
I'd say it happens more than not, but there's definitely some that try
to get out of it.
Try to get out of it, yes, sir.
And there's various reasons people try to get out of this, right? And there's various reasons that people may not be particularly honest about things, right?
So I agree with that, yes.
And then one of those reasons could be they have an agenda.
That'd be fair to say, yes.
Okay, and that doesn't just apply to regular citizens. It applies to everybody, right? It applies to doctors. Police officers can have an agenda. They can have a desire that a particular case goes a certain way. Do you do that?
I definitely have biases. Everybody does. Obviously, I don't. I definitely, in the interest of a professional, I remove those things. I can maybe assume a situation is going to go a certain way or assume something happened, but I also know that if I'm going to arrest somebody or if I'm going to write somebody a ticket, I need to be able to prove beyond reasonable doubt that in fact, whatever the violation or crime that we're dealing with happened.
And you would agree with me that I'll just stick with your profession, I'll get to some of these other folks, but in your profession, if someone has a bias, that's a troubling issue, isn't it?
It can be if they let that interfere making decisions, you know, in a particular case or something like that. Everybody, I would agree, has biases. You know, everyone has different opinions about book theory, things like that. It's when it becomes an issue is when that, you know, those internal feelings, internal thoughts based on whatever experience you've had in life, like that, when you start to allow those to actually dictate your decisions, that's when we'd have an issue, especially in my profession.
Or you make a predetermined decision that you're, this is what the results you want. That's concerning as well.
It could be, yes.
And that should never happen in law enforcement, should it?
When it comes down to making actual charges and arrests, no. There's times where someone, based on experience, there can be certain perceptions from a situation that, based on training and experience, can lead me in a direction of either proving something or disproving that an event occurred or details of it occurred or not.
Okay. But the reality is that you shouldn't have that tunnel vision. You should look at the whole picture rather than trying to pursue an agenda. Is that fair?
I would agree, yes.
Okay. It's inappropriate for someone in a position of authority to inject their opinion and then pursue a matter because that's the result that they desire. Do you agree with that?
I think it's solely on that, yes.
And that's bias, right?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer. Now, this prosecuting attorney talked a little bit about conspiracy. Is there anybody here who doesn't know what the term agreement means? Please raise your hand if you know what an agreement is. Okay. Please raise your hand if you don't know what the term agreed means. A-G-R-E-E-D. Does everybody know what agreed means? Okay. I'm going to give you a little hypothetical. I'm going to inject one of you in this hypothetical, okay? And I haven't pinned on juror 951, so we're going to pick on you a little bit. Is that okay? And if it's too much, tell me, please, okay? This isn't to put you on the spot. We know each other. Let's assume we know each other. And I go up to you and I say, you know, juror 951, it's a beautiful day out today. I'm going fishing today. Okay? And then I go off and go on a fishing trip. And then suddenly I look over across the pond and you're there fishing. And I didn't know it. Do you believe that's an agreement to go fishing together?
Yes and no.
Okay. And why do you say that?
Yes, you had mentioned that you're going to go fishing.
Okay.
But I've never agreed to go fishing with you.
Okay.
And so if you were to be there fishing and I just happened to come along and I start fishing across the pond, that wasn't an agreement to go together.
Right. So you, in that instance, you would say there is no agreement. Okay, and juror number 922, you had an interesting nodding. And I guess I'd like your
I appreciated juror 951's answer, both yes and no, but
okay.
Recognizing that, I don't know, that kind of social situation is awkward in one part, and to have an agreement, you really need to talk about it beforehand.
Right. And when you say you need to talk about it, does it have to be laid out specifically?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on that, juror number 752?
It wasn't an agreement.
Okay.
They just showed up at the same time.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing was agreed.
Okay. And let's say as a result of the fishing, let's go a step further with this. As a result of this wonderful fishing trip that I went on, I look upon across the pond, and the other person fishing, and we're going to let you off the hook today, sir. That's a terrible expression, but we're going to let you off the hook today, juror 951, and we're going to say it was somebody else, okay? And let's say that as a result of both of us being out there fishing at the same time, I'm not catching anything. But boy, the other person across the pond has a stringer full of 10 trout. And juror number 1057, the limit on trout that day was only 6. And unfortunately, that person was breaking the law. And along comes the fishing game officer. And this fishing game officer says, you broke the law and I'm giving you a citation. Okay?
In that situation, am I responsible for a citation as well because I'm fishing on the other side of the pond?
I do not think so.
Okay. During 1048, should I be getting a citation because I was fishing on the other side of the pond?
No, if you didn't reach your limit or exceed your limit, then no.
Well, what about just the fact that maybe we were both there fishing together and whether there's an agreement or not, does that make me guilty?
Judge, may we approach?
Yes.
Now I,
Whoops, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, well, maybe we should start.
All right. Of course, a good session. Okay, if you see them.
Okay, I tried to start with no chance.
All right, just back on the record here, the court will note for the record, we had a sidebar concerning the scope of Lord Dyer. The court generally does disfavor hypotheticals, and I've notified counsel of that, considering Idaho Criminal 24B. So, Mr. Pryor, I'll allow you to continue with your Lord Dyer, but please refrain from further hypotheticals at this point.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit and try to avoid the hypotheticals. I think there's enough fishing stories. I need to know your feelings on how you would evaluate truthfulness, bias, whether people are telling the truth. I'm going to go back to my police officer. And how do you gauge, officer, whether someone's being truthful?
There's many different ways. There's body language. There's eye contact or lack thereof. There's also, through the investigation, whether an individual's statements are adding up with the evidence I have, corroborating statements, or other statements that disprove what they're saying. And there's lots of different ways you can detect lies or, perceive the truth, either do.
And as part of your occupation, you actually carry a camera and recorder, is that right?
That's right.
Is that a standard practice?
For our department, it is, yes.
Okay, and it's a good idea to record when you're investigating a crime. Do you agree with me?
It is.
Okay. And are there instances where you would not record something if you were involved in a crime investigation?
Per my department's policies, if we're interviewing suspects, victims, okay, or pretty much any contact with the public, we record. So,
right. That's okay. Thank you. So, if we move on to the issue of trying to gauge how someone's being truthful or not being truthful. There are various reasons that people are untruthful, okay? And in line with trying to give everybody an opportunity to talk, we'll go to 909, because I haven't done anything with you yet. What sort of instances do you see where people tend to be untruthful?
When they have done something wrong.
Okay. So right off the bat, if they're trying to get away with something, they tend to be untruthful. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Are there other reasons people are untruthful?
Sure. Little white lies.
Okay. Little white lies. That would be to a spouse or something.
Sure.
Okay. Or it could be bigger white lies. Let's say one of the people in the relationship is having an affair. Do you think people lie when they're in an affair with somebody else?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to go to 922 and I'm going to work my way through. Do you think that people tend to be untruthful when they're involved in affairs or unrelated relationships they shouldn't be in?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And how do you feel about that?
About the lie itself?
Well, about the fact that maybe someone is trying to cover up an affair. Would you think that's human nature to do that if you're engaged in that conduct?
I'd say it most likely comes from a place of shame and guilt, at least in most instances.
Okay.
And I think we ought to be opposed to those feelings.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on that number, tree number 1048?
Do you restate the question?
Well, affairs, in terms of truthfulness, is it a tendency for people to be truthful when they're involved in an affair?
I would say it's probably a tendency to be untruthful if they're involved in an affair.
And it's a way to sort of, like juror number 922 said, just hide your shame, or there may be other reasons as well, right?
I would agree.
But it's not uncommon that if someone's trying to hide a relationship of some kind, they, in your eyes, they would likely be untruthful about that, trying to hide that relationship.
I would say that's the case, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much about that. Your thoughts on that juror number 951?
From a previous line of work, I would say that you restate that question.
Well, or how do you, what are your feelings about if someone's involved in affairs? Is that something that you tend to see where they would be truthful, untruthful, or would they just basically have asked, they would say, oh, yeah, I'm doing that?
I would say that when an affair is occurring, yes, they're going to be untruthful about it because they try to hide what's going on.
Okay. Okay. All right. Folks, I want to thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I know this is the most comfortable thing to do, but it's necessary and it's important. And I think both of us, both sides, folks to my right here, the prosecutor attorney's office, and myself, we're striving along with the judge to try to get an idea of what your thoughts are and your beliefs are. And again, folks, there's no right or wrong answer. All of you have a right to an opinion, and then and I think both sides are going to respect, I know the court's going to respect your opinion. So I want to thank you for what you've done today and having to go through this. I hope it wasn't too terribly uncomfortable. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. That will conclude the group session of this four-dire examination. At this time, we're going to move on with individual questioning on different topics, certainly. Jurors, and we'll have each of you return individually. So we'll start off smallest number to largest. And so if juror 752, you would remain seated, please. And the remaining jurors, if you'd all step out with the bailiff.
All right.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. For juror 752, upon review of the questionnaire, I think the only topic that we need to address in further voir dire would relate to questions regarding the death penalty. Does the state agree or have any further question on bias or hardship?
I don't think so. No. No, Your Honor.
All right, any further questioning before we get on to the death penalty questions with this juror, Mr. Pryor?
Judge, no. I guess I just want to clarify a couple of things.
Okay, if you go ahead and make sure your mic's on, Mr. Pryor, we'll allow you some additional voir dire on the hardship.
Now, sir, you mentioned that there may be an opportunity for them to sort of cover your responsibility as the chief financial officer. Do you have an assistant or someone who works underneath you on the same duties? So I have a controller underneath me that can do probably 70% of the work that I do. My only concern is to get sequestered because I plan on working in the evenings, early mornings, weekends, and stuff to cover up the remaining things. So. And that was what my concern is because you mentioned that your hardship in the beginning, your evaluation, I'm going off of memory once again, but at the very end, and do you have a copy of your evaluation or your questionnaire? Excuse me. Yes, I do. And if you return to the bottom portion, almost the very last page of your questionnaire, there's a comment there that talks about the fact that, or please don't allow me to put words in your mouth, but seems to suggest to me that you intend to work while you are on your free time during this trial. Is that what I'm hearing?
If there is, like say we leave at 3:30 in the afternoon, I'm planning to work the remaining part of the evening.
And when you say the remaining part of the evening, what do you refer to?
So probably till 7:00.
Okay.
I mean, I'm used to working long hours. So.
Okay. Is that your standard practice during, you're accustomed to working very, very long hours anyway?
It just depends on situations. If it's not being called in, if we're going through a sale of the company to a few years ago, it requires me to work significant amount.
Well, I understand it's significant, and I'm not trying to argue. I'm trying to get a feel for whether or not I'm comfortable with you working, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours after sitting in front of a jury and absorbing all of this information. This is not a reflection on you. Please don't take it. What I have a concern about is that whether you're going to be able to put the necessary attention and focus. You have a significant job, very, you know, time-consuming job. It's going to require a lot of attention. This is not just any run-of-the-mill job like me or anybody else. This is a serious position, and it requires a significant amount of time and effort to perform your job. Do you agree with that?
That is correct.
And what I have concerns about is that at the end of a 5, 6, 7 hour day listening to evidence, you're not going to have that downtime. You're not going to have that release to be able to absorb and maybe rest your mind, so that instead what you're going to do is you're going to go and work for, at least from what I'm hearing, 5 or 6 more hours on your job responsibilities and try to keep things afloat. Is that what I'm hearing?
There will be days like that.
Is it going to be every day?
I can't say it'll be every day, but there will be days where there's certain things come up that I would need to handle. So to me, my only concern is if I got sequestered where I wouldn't be able to have access to the internet or anything else. And that goes on for a lengthy period, yes, that would create some concerns.
And that's going to cause some concern in terms of your employment.
I mean, they wouldn't terminate me, but like I say, there's decision making that's that I wouldn't need to be part of, that I wouldn't be able to be part of.
But are you, you know, the judge has purposely set a schedule for us from like 8:30 to 3:30 with time for some lunch to be able to do that. What I have a concern about is the court specifically set a short time, and I don't want to read into the court suggested. It's not my purview to do that, but I would imagine the reason he's doing that is because after 5 or 6 hours of engaging in this sort of position to be a juror, you're going to need some time to recuperate from that. It doesn't sound like you're going to do that. It sounds like you're going to work.
I mean, like, say, we all have responsibilities. Even when I come home in the evening, I've got to take care of kids. I'm used to doing this. Like, say, I don't want to say this is not possible, but it really is possible to do multiple jobs. And like I said, to do this, I need to still work a couple of hours in the evening. This is what I'm accustomed to.
Okay. And you don't think that that's going to have any kind of an impact on your ability to effectively listen and do the job as a juror for 10 weeks?
I don't believe so. Like I said, my only concern is if we get sequestered, and that's because I don't have control.
And if you do get sequestered, that is a significant concern. That
correct. Large. I don't know how long that will last.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, so, a big question and an answer.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's my only concern. If I get sequestered, if it was for a week or 2 weeks, that would be concerned.
And at that point, it becomes a hardship. Would that be fair?
I would say yes.
And sir, don't take this as a personal affront. You can appreciate that I have a concern that you're going to be doing two jobs at a time when we're dealing with a case of significance. So, Judge, I'm going to move the cause in this particular case. I have a concern for his
effectiveness. That response from the state?
You know, Bickley, we would object to that motion. We believe that the juror has continually expressed his understanding of the potential risk or any potential hardship serving as a juror. But he also understands that he has plans and the impact that he can serve. So I haven't heard the juror say that he feels like it will actually be a hardship. He just needs to express concern. So at this point, we don't think that there's a cause to excuse this juror.
Okay. I'll just have a follow-up inquiry briefly here. Juror 752, there is a substantial likelihood of a time of sequestration without making any promises. That could be a week. There's potential it could be longer, though. And when you consider that, do you still feel like you're able to give your undivided attention to this case, even should a sequestration period take place?
I would say, depending on when the week happened, if it was over a month and week, it would cause concerns for me, because like I said, we wouldn't be able to close our financials, which we need to report at that time.
If that were to happen with bad timing, would someone else be able to assist in your employment responsibilities in your absence?
They would, but they wouldn't be able to complete the full job. Unfortunately, like, I have a controller that's been around about 4 or 5 months. She's not at the point where she can completely prepare the financials.
All right, but you're telling me you would be able to, regardless of your work commitments here, be committed and able to fully pay attention and consider the evidence in this case?
That is correct.
All right, I'm going to overrule the objection as to 752 in terms of expression of a hardship based on his responses. And so the next matter the court then is going to address with you, juror 752, is it in relation to that part of your questionnaire that's titled Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty? Do you recall last week when you answered your questionnaire thinking about and answering questions concerning the death penalty? Okay. Are the answers you provided in that questionnaire still accurate and reflect the way you feel as you sit here today?
I do agree.
Okay. You indicated in your questionnaire you support the death penalty when you were given the option of yes or no, support or oppose. You said support. Do you still agree with that stance?
I do.
You also made a choice when given options about what most accurately represents the way you feel, and you said option C, which is, quote, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Do you still think that accurately represents how you feel about it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me just ask an additional question there. If you are in favor of the death penalty, then do you believe the death penalty is appropriate or should be considered in every case where a murder has been committed?
When it's first degree murder, I do believe it should be considered.
Okay, and if the court were to give you instructions then about the death penalty, would you follow those instructions?
Yes.
If the court included instructions for some reason that you were not to consider the death penalty or instructing you that there are options besides the death penalty, would you fully and fairly consider those options as well?
I will.
All right.
I will.
Yes.
So given your views then, is there any reason for me to think your views would prevent or substantially impair your ability to serve as a juror in this case in accordance with the court's instructions if you receive those about the death penalty?
No, they should be not concerns at all.
All right, thank you. That concludes my inquiry on that topic. Does the state have any more dire on the issue of the death penalty?
You do not, Your Honor.
Nothing further, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That will conclude your individual voir dire, juror 752. You'll be escorted back to the jury room. We'll bring another juror in, and we'll get through the rest, and then you'll receive further instructions. Thank you for returning. This is juror 791. We've got some additional voir dire I think we need to conduct as it relates to potential bias, and that would be due to information this juror has about the case from previous media. Some expression of concerns also about guilt. So the court wants to start there with bias questions. If the state would like to conduct any voir dire, I'll allow that, and then I'll allow the defense.
Morning. So I just wanted to ask you a few questions about some of the media exposure that you've had in this case. In your questionnaire, you referenced some news reports and also some documentaries. Do you recall which documentaries that you watched?
The two that come to mind, one was from the, I think it's ABC 2020, and the other one was a Netflix documentary. I watched it once when it came out. I can't remember, I can't recall the title, but it was specifically about Lori.
And that's okay. On one of the questions in the questionnaire that you filled out, at the top of page 15, there was a question, could your knowledge of Chad Daybell prevent you from acting impartially in this case? One of the things that the judge is going to instruct you during this trial is that Mr. Daybell is innocent until the state meets its burden of proof. And the state would meet its burden of proof by introducing evidence during the trial. Nothing that you've heard thus far is evidence. Would you agree?
Correct.
Okay. Now, in answer to this question about your knowledge of Mr. Daybell, I believe that you were concerned that what you've heard so far would impact your ability to be impartial in this case. Are you concerned about that?
I've been going back and forth on it. Trying to gather my thoughts here.
Okay.
I feel like with some of my answers, and I kind of feeling I was probably contradicting myself unintentionally. I feel I have a fairly good grasp of being able to compartmentalize that I would not allow like the stuff that I've heard in the past, which has been quite a while, to correct my judgment.
Okay, fair enough. In one question toward the bottom of page 15, you had indicated that even knowing that news reports and documentaries are biased, the evidence points to guilt. Do you still believe that up to this point?
I think I was trying to answer it, my mindset, separate from me. So it was more the mindset of documentaries, or mostly documentaries, especially the Netflix. If I have a predisposition of viewing the defendant as guilty. So it's more that I am aware and I acknowledge that what I was watching already had the preconceived notion of guilt.
Okay.
I don't think I put that across very well.
No, that's completely fair. And I really appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty today and in your questionnaire. Would it be fair to say that this is something you're still wrestling with?
I would want to say no. I don't know if parts of me disagree with that. Again, with the compartmentalizing, viewing the evidence as it is, and again, not taking what this is about lightly. I don't want to presume guilt where there is none. I wouldn't want to subject any innocent person or anyone to anything like that,
of course. And just one last question. Toward the bottom of the questionnaire on page 19, you had indicated that you had formed an opinion of Mr. Daybell's guilt and that you could possibly set it aside. Has that opinion changed today, as of today?
No.
Okay. Your Honor, I would move to excuse this juror for the exposure to the media that she's already had.
All right, so the question from the state for excusal for bias, Mr. Pryor, response?
Judge, I could just want your, just a couple questions.
You may.
I appreciate your being honest. What I'm seeing is that you're struggling with this issue and you're not sure really how you feel. Would that be fair?
That would probably be fair.
I've been struggling with this. I think that's close. There's no wrong or right answer. What we're trying to accomplish is people who are, you know, pretty certain about what's going on. If you're struggling with things, we all struggle with things. This is a big deal. So I don't want you to feel like we're beating up on you or being disrespectful to you in any way. In fact, I appreciate the honesty and how straightforward you've been about answering this. Judge, I think I concur with the state. I just have concerns about something that she's just struggling
with. Very well. I've considered the responses in the questionnaire also, Juror 791. Absolutely nothing wrong with being interested in cases, following them, knowing about them. As you have mentioned here both today and in filling out your questionnaire, sometimes they portray things in a way that will cause people to form opinions. I do concur that I think the opinion has been formed here. So based on the responses, I am going to abstain the state's motion to strike for cause for this juror based on bias. So thank you so much for your responses today, for taking the time to complete your questionnaire, for returning back, and the court gives you sincere thanks. Please drop your questionnaire with the bailiff on your way out. All right, we'll next have juror 823.
I had 823 excused. Did I miss?
Oh, I may have. Oh, this is 823. I apologize. 823 was our juror who ran late that I think is going to be returning maybe tomorrow. We'll talk with jury commissioner and I'll clarify that with counsel. So 909. All right, juror 909 has returned some indication in the questionnaire of knowledge of the case. So this is the time, juror 909, we want to discuss what you may know about the facts of this case and how that may impact your ability to be impartial. I'll ask the state at this time if you'd like to inquire more dire on that issue.
Thank you, juror 909. Looking through your questionnaire, it looks like you know a fair amount about this case. Is that accurate?
Not necessarily this particular case, but I knew about the other case that
okay.
this deals with a little.
And are you referring to the case of Lori Ballard?
Yes.
And did you follow that trial?
not super closely, but there was enough talk about it that I heard stuff. So I heard something about the trial. I knew the trial was going on. I knew that conviction. I knew that things like that.
And with what you did know about that, do you think that could in any way shape your opinion about the presumption of innocence for this defendant going into the trial?
I think it's possible, yeah.
I think in your questionnaire, when it asked if any of your possible exposure to news reporting or the publicity around this case, how should you form an opinion? You said maybe, and when it's asked, if you could put it out of your mind, you said maybe I could try to be impartial.
I would like to think I could be impartial, but I can't help but wonder if evidence from the defensive side, from the side of the defense, would have to sway me. And I know that that's not. I'm not sure that I can say that he wouldn't have to do something.
Sure.
Sway me.
So, and just let me. And there's no right or wrong answers. We appreciate your honesty. So, Your Honor, based on that response, the state would move to excuse juror 909. Appreciate your honesty.
Response from the defense.
Judge, I would move as well. I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate it. It's straightforward about your responses, but this situation.
All right, juror 909, I've considered your response as the questionnaire also. I do think that for you in particular, for this case, not the best match as a juror, since you have knowledge of the corresponding case, which has likely influenced your opinion of the defendant in a way that would be unfair. So nothing personal again. This is just the information we're going through with each juror to ensure a fair and impartial jury in this case. So thank you very much for filling out your questionnaire, taking your time to come back today. You're excused from your jury service, and please drop that questionnaire with the bailiff. Next juror will be 922.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund.
No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.